a lot of people that follow recruiting know the name Quinn Ewers. Mm-hmm. Quinn is the quarterback from South Lake Carroll, who was in the state championship game this year. I think they may have played a team from around here. I'm not sure how that game came out. People in Westlake can tell
LBJ,
me.
LBJ, perhaps?
I don't think it was LBJ. I think it might have been Westlake. The Westlake folks can maybe tell me how that game came out. So Quinn Ewers, even though that game didn't go his way, a lot of others did. And he is a highly touted quarterback prospect. He has made his choice, not signed yet. He's a 22 kid, of course. But he's made his choice to go to Ohio State. And in an interview with 24/7 Sports, they asked a question about why he changed allegiances. And remember, he was a Texas commit at one point. He decommitted and then committed to Ohio State. His answer is what everybody's been talking about the last day or so. And his answer was, quote, probably because a Texas team hasn't been in the running for a national championship in a little while. And I don't know about other guys, but I just want to compete at the highest level. Obviously, one day they will get back there and it'll be great, but right now I'm just tired seeing that happen. End quote. From Quinn Ewers.
Okay, well, you didn't say anything that was incorrect right now, Chad. And we hope that Steve Sarkisian can be the answer, the coach to get Texas back to national prominence, but it's still unknown right now, especially for this next year. So I'm not upset with them at all. I mean, it's a bit sobering to hear those things coming from a kid who grew up loving the Longhorns and does want to see them succeed, that he doesn't necessarily think it could happen on his watch or that it would be much more difficult on his watch. I do think also that there is something else at play with Quinn Ewers and why he decided to flip. That is no longer the case here in Austin, though. The fact that Tom Herman was the coach here at the time, and Tom Herman rubbed the Ewers family the wrong way.
That's true.
And so I think that even though he still said this, there's a chance that we see Quinn Ewers flip back to the Longhorns before it's all said and done. Now, what would that take? It would take Texas likely competing for, if not winning, a Big 12 championship and being in the national championship conversation, the college football playoff conversation. I don't necessarily think those things are going to happen this year. I think that this Texas team is still at least a year away from competing along those lines. So if that's what happens and Quinn sticks with Ohio State, best of luck to him in Columbus. I know that he's not rooting against Texas. He's not trying to take a shot there. He's just trying to be honest about why he did something. And so it's up to Texas to change those fortunes.
Yeah, I mean, the facts are the facts here. He's also another guy that's going to, if he ends up at Ohio State, he would join names like Okuda and Dobbins and Garrett Wilson, who have ended up at Ohio State. So it's not just Bama and Clemson that are taking these guys out of Texas. We know that. And again, when he says a Texas team, he doesn't just mean the Longhorns. He means state of Texas. They've had seven versions of this college football playoff, four spots apiece. That's 28 opportunities. And there have been no teams from the state of Texas fill any of those spots.
And the closest was your boys this last year.
That's true. And if you expanded the playoff a little, a fifth-seeded A&M would have been in a discussion. Mm-hmm. If you had had a better system back in the day, TCU or Baylor would have been in to play for a national championship. That horrible thing in, what, 2014 is when that happened to them?
Right.
So no spots have been taken by Texas teams. Between Bama's been in six times, won three titles. Clemson's been in six times, won two titles, four times for Ohio State, and they've won a title. So Bama, Clemson, and Ohio State have won six of the seven championships in this format. So think about Quinn Ewers' age. Let's say he's 18 right now. That would mean that, what, Colt McCoy would have been, what, 11 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Am I doing the math right on that?
Yes.
Okay, so he's, what, seven when Colt McCoy's doing that? And when Vince Young is doing that, he's two, three? Yeah. Somewhere in that range.
Yeah, he doesn't remember that.
So he doesn't have, he's not going to have a memory of Vince. He barely has a memory of Colt. And this would help to sort of, you know, maybe explain why he's doing what he's doing. If your whole thing is I want to go and compete for a national title right now, there are three schools, to argue for, and there's another one I would throw in, and it's also Texas's problem, the Longhorns specifically. Mm-hmm. It's Oklahoma. They've been in four times. Now, they obviously have not won the thing. They have not even been to the title game, if I am correct. But at least they've been there. They've been the representative four times. So that's what Quinn Ewers is essentially talking about. So let us know what you think today. Longhorn fans, Aggie fans, heck, whatever, TCU fans, Baylor fans, whoever it is, there have been teams that felt like they had a chance to grab a hold of it, but we'll keep saying it, Trey. This state is up for grabs, and that's why Quinn Ewers is saying what he's saying. It's up for grabs in terms of the in-state schools because the biggest talent seems to be headed to one of three places.
Yeah, and it's not just Quinn Ewers either, Chad. We're going to talk a little bit later in the show, coming up at 1:30, about how the transfer portal is really changing how teams go about recruiting high school players now, too. It's interesting. It's definitely happening at the college basketball level, but it's happening in football as well. But speaking of the transfer portal, you can see just how valued a destination Texas is right now by looking at the Athletics transfer portal top 50. So the top 50 prospects who were in the transfer portal at one point who now have a new team, you go down the entire top 50. By the way, the number one guy is running back Eric Gray, who went from Tennessee to Oklahoma. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
You look down the top 50, though, Texas doesn't have a single guy that they landed.
Wow.
There were a couple that they gave away, including Keontae Ingram, who is now, of course, at USC. But in terms of getting guys here, not a single one of those guys chose Austin as his final destination. Man.
Somebody texted what Garrett Wilson said about Texas before going to Ohio State was more scathing than what Ewers said. I would agree, because Garrett Wilson talked about development. He was talking about he didn't see receivers being developed at Texas.
He wasn't wrong about that.
No, he was not.
It certainly didn't help that the position coach at Texas at the time was trashing all of his current players and how poorly they were developing, too. Thanks a lot for that one, Drew Merringer.
Trey, somebody else texted us. Did you guys hear Paul Feinbaum say Texas is no longer relevant? Said Trey, don't play devil's advocate, and agree with him.
They're not relevant right now.
It depends on what you mean by relevant, but from where Paul Feinbaum is sitting, he's sitting in a world that will always be a part of the college football playoff discussion. And if you're saying it that way, no, they're not. If you're discussing the brand name and revenue and all that, well, Texas is relevant. Texas A&M is relevant. They're like one and two on that list.
Just strictly talking on field right now.
If you're talking on field,
they are not relevant.
They are neither of those teams that I just mentioned are relevant in terms of a college football playoff, a serious college football playoff discussion, until each of them deals with the Crimson Monster in the closet.
A&M is more relevant right now. As much as it hurts me to say that, it felt like Texas was about to get relevant again after that Sugar Bowl win over Georgia, but unfortunately it didn't happen. And now here we are at the start of another reset. And I think I'm more confident with Steve Sarkisian in now than I was when Tom Herman came in.
Mm-hmm.
And people may have a hard time believing that. Ask anybody around here. I was asking questions at the time that nobody else was when Tom Herman got hired. I feel better about Sarkisian at Texas than I did Tom Herman, but he still has a ways to go. There are still a number of areas that need to be fixed on this roster, and I think he did a great job of avoiding the trap that a lot of other coaches end up basically harming themselves with whenever they get hired to a new gig, and that's bringing too many guys aboard that you're comfortable with in terms of your position coaches. Steve Sarkisian hired a fantastic staff, and I think they can get it done. They can develop guys. They can come up with a good game day plan. And they can really adjust on the fly regarding whatever the other team is doing to you on game days. But that all still remains to be seen. And they have some things in front of them right now with this upcoming season that are not insurmountable necessarily. But they're going to be difficult things for them to overcome just with regards to their own roster. You have a very thin amount of depth on your offensive line. The starters look like they can be pretty good, but inevitably injuries happen. The wide receiving core leaves a lot to be desired in terms of playmakers. The linebacker position is thin right now. Yeah, you got brought guys in on the transfer portal, and hopefully those help, and hopefully a guy like Deli Adeyewe announcing that he's returning to the football team, hopefully that helps out as well. It remains to be seen. Now, you have a great defensive line in front of you. You have some talent in the secondary, But there are legitimate enough question marks on both sides of the ball right now that I think even starting to believe that this team is going to win a conference championship this next year is a little bit of fool's gold. And I'm somebody who usually likes to take the fool's gold in my hand and roll it around a little bit in the preseason. I just watched what this football team looked like in spring ball and realized that I need to reset my expectations right now, at least for this very first year.
When it comes to your Texas Longhorn football team, you are a fan of the summer romance. You're a big fan. You have been summer romance guy these last few years, which is why I'm kind of hoping you counteract this year. Because you've picked them to, like, play for the conference title in years where they've fallen a little bit short.
Well, I picked them to play for a conference title when they did.
They did.
Versus Oklahoma.
One of the years when you picked it, they did.
But last year I did pick them to end up in the college football playoff, as did a number of national pundits, mind you.
Yes.
And that wasn't even close to happening.
Yeah, because the truth of this season is going to be, right now, if you had to bet on how many teams in the Big 12 are better than Texas. Is it two? Is it three?
Better than Texas right now?
Because I know there's two. In my mind, there's two for sure.
Two for sure. And I think an argument could be made that at least two others are as well. But I think that Texas is in that second tier.
Mm-hmm.
But within that second tier, there are at least three, if not four, teams there. And what happens when you play competition in your same tier? You don't tend to sweep those games necessarily. You win some and you lose some, on top of likely losing to both of the top dogs in the conference. So Texas very easily could be staring at an 8-4 season. That would not be the end of the world. That would upset some people. People have higher expectations than that. People would like to see 9-10 wins this year. That's fine. I mean, think optimistically about things, but also understand the reality of this year's situation might not lend itself to that.
Yeah, so if you have thoughts on it, let us know on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Quinn Ewers' comments obviously being discussed by Longhorns, but I'm sure it's being discussed around the entire state. It's being discussed by Aggies, too, and then those other schools that are maybe trying to get themselves into positioning. Those are the two schools, obviously, that would have the discussion right now, like Trey said. In terms of what we've seen the last couple years and what Jimbo Fisher's done, you give the Aggies the respect of they're around that top five marker last year, so they're in the discussion, in the neighborhood, and Texas obviously trying to get there as soon as they can, get back to that area. But you got to get to a point where a five-star kid who's at South Lake Carroll, like, this isn't the old days, Trey, where everybody ignored Drew Brees. That's not what we're dealing with here. You have to have as many badass quarterbacks as are coming out of this state. You cannot have quarterback after quarterback thinking what he said, much less actually saying it to people.
Well, by the way, the kid who beat him in the championship game is in the Longhorns' backyard. And I understand that, unlike Ewers, he did not grow up a Longhorn fan. But
right,
he is choosing to go to Clemson.
Yes, he is.
So one of those guys is going to Ohio State. The other is going to Clemson. You have a five-star kid out of California who some people are higher on than others, but you just need to make sure that you hit with that kid if you are choosing to pass up on these other two.
Somebody texted in about Arch Manning. That's going to become a big name for Texas fans if they can get that kind of dream commit to, you know, go against his SEC roots and come to Texas. That one would be huge.
Arch is one of those guys that I'm guessing is going to wait to see how things play out this year before making a commitment to Texas.
Yeah.
I would assume that.
Yeah.
Anybody who's in that position right now is going to be in wait-and-see mode with the Longhorns.
That dude's going to have some wild choices to make.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure on that kid.